In the name of the Holy and Undivided Trinity. Amen. Amen. Anytime we are faced with the uncertainty of waiting for something, we tend to ask questions. Now think about this. If you've ever gone on a road trip, the predictable one from yourself or from other family members is how long? Or as many of us sang in VBS last summer, are we there yet? When we're waiting, we notice things around us that usually pass us by. Or if the wait is long, or if we're in a hard place, we start pondering and we ask deeper questions, revisiting past decisions, trying to make sense of it all. Soul questions tend to surface in moments of waiting and uncertainty, whether we really like it or not. Then there's other kinds of questions, more strategic questions, the kinds that teachers ask when they already know the answer. They're not asking questions because they don't know the answer. They're asking questions to draw the answers out of others. This is often called the Socratic method. And the goal of the teacher is to refine the thought of the students, to get them to make connections. We see both of these type of questions at play in today's gospel. John the Baptist and Jesus both ask them. The first half of the gospel is shaped around this question of John's to Jesus: are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another? It's a question that is asked in a very poignant context, because John is in prison. He criticized King Herod for having an affair with his sister-in-law, and that did not go well for him. Ultimately, this will cost John his life. But now he is waiting, and he is receiving visits from his disciples. And in that waiting space, those soul questions are arising. John is asking all these things. He's facing his own death. And he could be wondering if the hope that he had so vehemently declared and proclaimed in the wilderness would come to pass in his lifetime. Maybe John wondered if he should have done things differently. Maybe he wondered if it was worth it. Maybe he wondered where Jesus, the promised Messiah, was for him. This God about whom he had preached, who would baptize with fire and the Holy Spirit. Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another? And Jesus responds to John's question through John's own disciples, sending them back with the response, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them." In many ways, John the Baptist's own disciples become prophets to him. They offer such a hopeful response. And Jesus is saying that John fulfilled his mission, and that the fullest expression of Jesus' identity as Messiah is in healing and restoration. Now, this might or might not have come as a surprise to John. On one hand, scriptures like the ones that we heard in Isaiah this morning point to this very hope. But on the other, John may have been longing and hoping for a more direct confrontation and overthrow of corrupt Roman authorities. And he would not have been alone in this hope. Different kinds of hopes about the Messiah swirled around the country, and different understandings of who the Messiah was operated within Judaism itself. We don't know what kind of conversation happened between John and his disciples after they delivered Jesus' words. Maybe his disciples continued to visit him to tell him what they were hearing and seeing, and continued to speak prophetic hope to him. What we hear from this exchange is Jesus' answer, which can be summed up as, "I'm the one you've been waiting for." Jesus is the Messiah whose identity is most clearly expressed in the way he draws near to the poor and the outcast. And John's words and deeds in the wilderness were not in vain. From here, today's gospel switches gears a bit. It moves on to an entirely different question. Jesus speaks to the crowds and asks, "What did you go out in the wilderness to look at?" It feels like a Socratic-style teaching method where Jesus knows the answer, but he's calling the crowds to a deeper understanding of what they are seeking. Because the crowds, too, have been curious as they have heard John the Baptist's words, and they have been waiting for more. They have been asking questions. They've been uncomfortable at times, but intrigued by John's exhortations, his declarations about God and his promise of God's renewal. And Jesus confronts them with the fact that they could have chosen to go elsewhere. They could have chosen to stay comfortable. They could have gone to hubs of power to listen to the voices of those who had influence living in luxury, or they simply could have stayed home and gone on with business as usual. Our collect this morning begins with the words "stir up." In some places, when this collect is prayed, it's called Stir Up Sunday. Folks going to hear John the Baptist wanted to be stirred up. And they went to listen to a wild man. They wanted to hear from a prophet. Why? Because they were thirsty for God's voice. They needed to hear the voice of God in new ways. And all that Jesus is doing here is getting the crowd to admit this more fully to themselves. He's leading them to name their longing for God that was so strong that they would disrupt their lives. They would stir them up and go into the wilderness in search of revelation. When we are waiting or looking for God, our questions can look a lot like the types that we see in today's gospel. Sometimes questions and doubts arise in our spirits when we are immobilized in some way, when we read the headlines with news of yet more violence, wondering what's next, wondering where hope is and where God is. And then sometimes other people come to us with words that point us to God and cause us to reach out and discern further and ask the question, God, is this you? Or am I still waiting? And God's words persistently find us, and they wake us up, and they stir us up, and they gradually draw us in to hope. Other times, we are driven to search for God. And something spurs us on, something stirs us up. And somehow God's voice calls to our spirits and we leave our comfort zones to get a sense of what God is about. Maybe we step into church for the first time in a while. Maybe we try to pray for the first time in a while. Maybe we ask for help rather than soldiering on and keeping our concerns and struggles to ourselves. Maybe we make that hard phone call to someone to whom we owe an apology. We choose to enter the wilderness. And we may not be able to admit why we are looking for God, why we want our lives stirred up, why we are attracted to the person of Jesus, or what hunger is driving us. And in those moments, Jesus challenges us to own it. And to admit that we long to hear God's voice and we are in search of God's prophetic voice in our lives. Our status quo isn't working for us. We are in search of something more. We're restless. And on some level, we're grasping that only God can meet us in new ways. Advent is a season where waiting for the coming of Christ goes hand in hand with recognizing that we long for more of him in our lives, where we stop trying to satisfy our souls with lesser things, where we admit that we've been trying to satisfy our souls with lesser things. Advent is a season when we can choose to prepare our hearts for a deeper sense of Christ's presence in our lives by admitting that we long for him to stir us up. That we want real transformation and hope, that we can't engineer it, And it can be hard and vulnerable to admit that we long for God to do something and that we can't fix it ourselves. We wonder, what if God doesn't respond? What if we're disappointed? What if we wait in vain? And in these places, we are called to trust that God is faithful to bring healing and renewal. That Jesus bends low to embrace us in the places where we feel depleted and in need of words of hope. That Jesus sends others into our lives to speak words that draw us into deeper relationship with him. This week, and as we move through the midpoint of Advent, I invite you to think about ways that others have been God's messengers of hope, speaking into your places of doubt. Like the disciples of John the Baptist, sometimes God sends people to remind us of the ways that God is at work. Where has God's voice been speaking to you in the midst of hopelessness? Or where are you hearing God's voice stirring you up, calling you to venture out? Where are you feeling curious? Are there any John the Baptists in your life unsettling you, calling you to change, calling you to do business with obstacles that keep you from God? Don't shut those voices out. Let them stir you up. Allow God to renew your hope. Take courage from the fact that Jesus the Messiah draws near to us in our places of weakness, calling us to rejoice in his healing, his power, and his redemption. Amen.